What's even Washington cases right now? Did you see it? Florida fucking, I think on Sunday, had more cases than they've ever had in one day.
Yeah. Yeah. Florida
34,000.
Florida. Well, they also have like, you know, 30% vaccination rate.
That's insane. Washington.
6,000 cases. Four.
I heard that guy's got 40 dicks and 6,000 goddamn cases of the Delta variant.
He's coming.
Give me the lap. You know, sometimes you just get one.
Sometimes I think he's all primed anyway. Like you could give him a ham sandwich and he'd laugh.
I want to be like the legacy podcast that's giving Jeff a ham sandwich. And no one will get it except for us.
Well, you can just edit the first bit in as the intro and then
clip it together.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
3, 2, 1. Oh, what's the name of our podcast? Okay, sorry. Fuck. 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to the Canadian Threshold. The Legacy Podcast is saying, like, come on, if he was that nimble, wouldn't he have Shroud? Wouldn't he?
All good nimble boys have Shroud.
That's the way I figure. My name's Quinn Amore. I'm here as always with my co-host, Jeff Kinsey.
Hello.
And Bren McBain.
Hey, guys.
Gentlemen, how's it going?
Nimbly bimbly.
I'm going to like pull back the curtain and be like, I was just like, yeah, how's it going? Like, we just talked for like 40 minutes. But the people didn't know that until I told them.
It's true.
Actually, Jeff and I kind of talked and you just played Momir online for 40 minutes. So,
Legacy and Arena Momervig, two places where you can't make the only nimble creature that I respect. Or I guess on Arena, the one I don't respect too.
Yeah. You know what? You made a point that Arena Momir is free, which is good because MTGL Momir, you have to like wait for people to queue, which never happens. But I mean, no dog coming home. Momir is not the same. I said this before. If you don't have to fear for your life that you're going to completely ruin your board by getting an awful creature that like, you know, makes it so you can't attack or like bounces all of your own creatures.
Do you die to phage? You do, right? Because you don't cast it?
I think you're right. I think you do die to phage.
Well, you said you don't get the cast triggers on Ulamog. Yeah. So
I guess you die to phage on MPGO.
You ever, here's for a diversion, you ever play Mojus though?
God of Slaughter or whatever?
No. So it's you make a custom game on MGO. McBain, we'll have to do this. You use Momir as a vanguard, you use Jwaira as a vanguard, and you use Stonehewer Giant. So Stonehewer Giant is like when a creature comes into play, you get a random artifact that costs one less than it or less equipped to that creature. And Jwaira has two abilities. You can pay 3 and discard a card and cast a random sorcery. Or you can pay 3 and discard a card and cast a random instant. So when you have your mix between random creatures, random equipment, random spells, it gets wild. You'll be like, I need a Wrath. And you just start firing off random sorceries until you find one.
That sounds awesome.
It's pretty sick. Highly recommend. I haven't played it for years.
That sounds wild.
Canadian Threshold Mojo Stow Tournament.
How much do like the icon things cost?
Back in the day, Momir was like $10. It was expensive, but I think it's super cheap now.
I would pay $30 for that. If I need three, I'll pay $30. And then we could just run it on, what's the thing they run, like the Lotus Box tournament.
Oh, Melee? NTG Melee?
Yeah.
That'd be fun. That'd be sick. Do you think you can rent Vanguard cards from like Card Hoarder?
Probably.
Let's see, why not?
Well, I guess they have to have them, right? Is the reason why not. But
the world stock of Joyra Vanguard cards. Okay. Should I talk about real tournaments that we're not running but are happening? Puget Sound Battleground 3, once again. Tickets are still available. $700 for entry for the Legacy event. Legacy's October 2nd. Other events also that day and October 3rd. Artists, vendors, all kinds of stuff. Hopefully things are looking great. And
for those of you who don't know, Roy, who Jeff's dog, who you would see on his Twitter profile, is wandering around the house and his nails are tapping away.
Like, it sounds like he needs a little clip. I've been watching a lot of dog grooming videos now.
Why?
I just started following like one person on Instagram. I think she's like actually like famous on like TikTok. Like Liz sent it to me, but she's like, she has an Instagram, so you have to get TikTok. And so I just got more suggestions and I was like, oh yeah, look at this dog. And so I just started watching those ones too. Right. You guys just clipping their nails.
About the picture I just did with Roy on Twitter, it got retweeted by some person who doesn't follow me, who must have just been searching dog on Twitter. And it's like this like French lady with like 30,000 followers. And then I was looking at the people that like started liking my picture overnight, and it's just like all like French 16-year-olds. So the numbers, they are inflated. Anyways, Puget Sound Battleground, tickets are available. Get your tickets. We're going to be there. It'll be a good time. Looking forward to playing some Paper Legacy. Maybe some... Are they doing pre-modern there?
They are.
Old school. Oh, there is.
Yeah, so old school is Saturday. And then on Sunday afternoon, I think it's at like 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock or something, is pre-modern, which in our local Slack channel, everyone started kind of talking about pre-modern today. The professor just released that video today or yesterday about pre-modern and just explaining the format and why he thinks it's pretty sweet. And it just kind of got, you know, the pre-modern juices flowing. There's definitely some sweet decks in there.
Yeah, that'll be sweet. Also, where's the team trios that's like legacy, old school, pre-modern?
Yeah.
what's the actual team trios? Legacy, Modern, Pioneer?
Pioneer, I think.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm sure, fine. You know, the supported formats. But I don't think I know anybody that plays Pioneer.
Chad?
George? George
said he's going to start.
Yeah, last night, George said he was listening to the last episode when Lee was talking about whatever that Lotus something deck that was comboing off.
Oh, Lotus Storm. Yeah, the Twiddle
Storm. Yeah, in Pioneer. Yeah. And he was like, okay, I can do this. Yeah, this can work. So, George, it does have, now, like,
big mono red energy. You know, you just start casting spells, making mana, hoping you get there.
Ruby Storm got too good. George needs a challenge. The deck's way too consistent.
Yeah, I don't know. This is going to be cool. I'm really looking forward to a good-sized Legacy event and, you know, paper. First time probably playing fucking paper revised 40, which would be a good time too.
Jeff, we can each play the 80-card Death and Taxes deck and then, like, count how many times we forget to reveal our companion. And then you have to, like, take a drink every time you forget it. I know you and I, Jeff, we both have our tickets for the event. Mm-hmm. We've each both booked a room. Mm-hmm. Because I never want to sleep in the same room as you ever again.
Wow. What happened?
I don't know. I just had to go somewhere with that as I was saying it.
I was like, wasn't that like Eternal Weekend? I was there. It seemed fine. I sleep in. Like, I was like, whoa, were they like fighting before I woke up?
Oh, fighting. I think after I drink a bit, I definitely snore. So I think you have to group together everybody that snores in the same room. Or just everybody gets drunk enough where nobody can tell.
I was just imagining, like, I sleep later than everyone else. Like, I always sleep to the last minute. And, like, you guys are, like, fighting, and then you see me, like, wrestling. You're like, shh, he's waking. He's waking up. You want to get him mad again, Brendan? Is that what you want?
I'm going to throw a bottle this time. He almost hit me.
My poor son needs his sleep.
He just thinks we're here to play magic. He didn't think we're working on us.
So yeah, we're excited for that. I know there's a couple other folks coming down, and I'm sure we'll end up with a few stragglers at the last minute to fill out the room, and it's going to be great. So I'm looking forward to that. But I don't know, Jeff, what kind of magic you've been playing lately?
I've been playing a lot of the Bant Cube. That's been a lot of fun.
Do you have your Mana Trader subscription going right now?
I do. It's with Card Hoarder. I do have it going. Honestly, I have it going because Colin needed some cards, so I rented some stuff for him and gave it to him for like a couple weeks. then some D&T lists got kind of sweet again, so I did start playing some leagues with Yorion D&T, which has been a lot of fun.
How is that online?
It's great. I mean, you made a joke about not revealing your companions, and I feel like in paper it's super easy. You just like leave it out and you just, you know, point at it. But like online, like you have to click constantly. So far I haven't missed the game, but it feels like it's something that would happen over time for sure.
Like you have to proactively do it.
Yeah. Every time it starts, it shows your sideboard and you have to, you know, show your companion, you have to click it. And then also,
okay. But it pulls your sideboard up, like yeah. Makes it obvious.
Yeah. But it's still, you know, Magic Online. Sometimes you're selecting stuff and you're like, is this selected? I don't know. Like I clicked something and then I clicked okay. But is it like, nope, not that. Okay.
Do you not want to show your companion?
Yes. What the hell is this? Do you not want to show your companion?
Arena, I think if you're best of three and you have it set as your companion, automatically game one is just your companion. Mm. And then in the next cup, like game two, it'll be like, would you like to reveal Yorion as your companion if it's your projection?
Like it just comes up as like a yes or no. Because there's actually like a companion slot there.
Yeah.
I remember like when companions came out, aside from the obvious, you know, what the fuck are these? There was something intriguing in my brain about like if you built a deck that met multiple requirements.
And mm-hmm. you had game one, card I'm deck with only deck. One and two drops.
Yeah. Game two, I'm a Lutri deck, you know, like I don't know what the tactical benefit would be, but that'd be interesting, right?
No, it would just be, I don't know, kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
But well, it would be fun. Companion in Legacy for the first time because we missed the whole, I wasn't playing online at the time and there was no paper. And I don't think I can set up webcam, but that Grixis Painter list has a Giganta in the sideboard.
I love, like, it's funny that, like, looking at the companion stuff up front, the worst offensive thing, one of the bad things was like the decks that just could have a companion, like the no changes, you know, I just have an extra card. And that was like extremely stupid. Like when every Storm deck had the 3/2, whatever it is. The cat beast lord thing with vigilance.
Called?
Kahira. I was going to say Karuga, but that's the other thing.
Kahira, right?
Something like that, sure.
This is like a good argument for there's like a Brainstorm Brewery bit where they're like they just ran out of names, like they just shuffle up, they Yahtzee up some like Scrabble tiles and just spill them on the table. Karuga, Kira,
Karuga. but yeah, so like that's always kind of like dumb when it's just like a free extra card, but something about that free extra card being Giganta just effectively like a vanilla 5/5 for like 5 mana is like kind of cool. It does, but you can you like only pay specifically colored mana things with it?
Well, you can So if I that deck also has Baleful Strix.
Mm.
So I could tap it. I could tap it actually and cast one Baleful Strix and one Goblin Welder.
Oh yeah.
And then throw two mana in the garbage.
I also just love like the game plan where you're shifting. You're like, all right, this turn I'm gonna put Gigantha in my hand. I got a free three mana, and then like two turns maybe later, you're like, I'm gonna cast them. I got my elk. Like we're getting in there.
Gigantha is the only one where I'm like, is this even worth it? Like this is like my plan Z. Except right. all it tells your opponent is you don't have any double colored mana.
Right. Know? Like so, hello, I'm not playing Force of Will. I just want to make this clear. I'm not playing Force of Will.
Is that worth it?
Like that is the biggest cost. It's just telling people, even if you'd never run Force of Will, you know, if you're a blue deck, it's like well, maybe, but being like Gigantha is like no, never.
I don't want to. Is that worth it? Because like, yeah, if I was playing like Reanimator and I'm like Gigantha, I wouldn't have known that. But now that you told me, I like if I see that, I'm gonna be like, well,
here. Quinn, put four Badlands. Forces in the main and a Gigantha in the side. And then when you're playing as the deck, you don't need Force of Wills. Cut them and then
you and then reveal Gigantha. That's the true genius. Actually, what if there's sideboard forces? That'd be kind of smart. Then you just don't reveal Gigantha in the second games.
And then you just go, oh, I forgot. I didn't reveal my companion.
I guess you have like Pyroblast.
Yeah. I don't know. What magic was I playing? So I've been playing your D&T, which has been fun. Obviously, you know, JR has been crushing with it, and him and Jason Murray have been putting up a ton of work with like just pushing the deck forward and making it actually be like something that is respectable and exists. But it's also like something that appeals more to like the things I like about D&T that, you know, obviously I was complaining about before. Like as soon as you put those other like 20 cards in, like you are shifted into like a more toolboxy role. Anything that plays four Recruiter of the Guards is automatically like super sweet, and you can fit a lot more goofy things in there, like Peacekeeper and you know, other associated things. And also just having like four Solitude in the deck is like fucked. I won, and like, have you guys played with Solitude yet ever?
Yeah, I've played with it in paper.
It's so good.
It's really good.
It's so good. And like casting it is like a real thing. Like that happens.
Casting it is a very real thing. And then the fact that like, so I casted it a bunch, but now that I'm like assembling the 80 card version with the Urien, I'm really excited to like take a vial up to five, you know, put the Urien in your hand and they're like, oh no, here it comes. And you like activate. Take out your guy, like swing for three. But there was a number of games against just like Bant control and stuff like that, where I just like end a turn, make a 3/2.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's just, you know, it feels like you're playing their game all of a sudden.
Yeah. It's like, it's a good card. And like the amount of games I played a match against like Omni Show, and, you know, I had a Deafening Silence or something like, something to like, I think it must have been Deafening Silence. And it was like, I needed to respond to something they were doing, but also that would lock me out of like non-creature spells for the turn. And it was like, holy shit. Like there's nothing, like I'm fucked. Like I need that non-creature spell. Like, what can I do? And it's like, oh, this is a creature. Like, boop. It's so good. And also like you get to play the sick games like Yorion, where I had this too. I'm sitting there, I'm looking, I'm like, I need to cast the Solitude. I don't have the mana for it, and I don't have a white card in my hand. I need to get the Solitude out because they're going to put an Emrakul. What can I do? And it's like, I can just pay the three mana that I have to put a white card in my hand from my sideboard and then pitch it. Yeah, it's super sweet. And like the games where you just have Vial on five and you just play like a vanilla 4/5 like flyer, like those are real games. Especially give a Krakas to like, you know, bounce it some more. But
so there's that, there's like two aspects of D&T. There's the like prisony mana denial. And I know you like that. And I know you love Shadowport as much as I do. But the more I've read about this Yorion deck and the more I've seen it perform, like it, I think it plays the real secret magic that you really like, which is like sealed bad cards, where it's just like, you're like, I'm just here to play like the long game. And I sideboarded my 40 card sealed deck into a 60 card sealed deck. And my game plan is to just wait you out and go one for one with all of your cards. And then eventually play some like card advantage card that gets me, you know, three cards. And then that's going to be it.
Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely it, right? Like if operating in a good place, like D&T should feel like a sweet cube deck where you're just like getting your tiny bits of value again and again.
All right, Quinn, we could go on all night.
I appreciate that you included me in that original question. Like, have you guys cast Solitude? And while you were talking, I was thinking like, have I played any Legacy deck with the density of white cards that I could afford to pitch one out of my hand? Like, I don't think that's ever happened.
That's why you got to play the Yorion or some other like white companion card that you can put in your hand.
Play Yorion Infect.
Yeah.
I don't think that's it.
I'm gonna mess up Sam right now.
Still, I got all the plague stingers.
Have you, what kind of legacy do you been playing, Quinn?
I missed last week's paper. I played Painter. I won a blue Painter the week before that. I've just been looking at Painter lists. And like actual quote unquote Painter lists, not like the decks that are arguably more powerful that are like we're jamming in Painter as a backdoor combo and playing like a bunch of like there's that blue red deck that Bob Wong was playing.
Like the Delver Painter.
Which looks extremely good, but it's just instead of having Delver as your win con, you have Painter as your win con and you play all the good blue red cards. That's too good. But there's been some like mono red lists that are like the plans to get like a Bolas of Citadel into play off your Welder. Run Sundering Titan. There's like Grixis list I was talking about. A couple of like blue red lists that aren't playing just like expressive iterations. They're playing like Emery and like stuff like that. So I've been exploring art.
Well, chatting with you last night about your exploration of art, I was getting pretty inspired. And like you, I also missed last week. I was out having a little vacation. I think Jeff was as well. And, you know, I've been feeling a little bit stale on Legacy the last like month or two. Like just, I haven't got to play really any Magic Online and just like a few weeklies here and there, but that's honestly not that much Legacy. And sometimes it feels like hard to kind of like reinvigorate yourself, especially with the tri-annual thing of Modern Horizon sets coming out, which kind of like really upend the format. And I was definitely feeling reinvigorated by your Painter discussion, specifically the Urza Saga and all the cool little lines that you can start to do with that. Ever since I lost my beloved Sensei's Divining Top, I've been looking for something, and this might be it.
Saga could find top.
Sensei's is actually a really interesting comparison because I feel like for Painter, it's like if Urza Saga's existed and Painter was just like a deck in Legacy and Urza Saga didn't really go in a lot of other decks, like it would be like, oh, this card's like they made this for Painter. But it's also just generically powerful. So everyone is playing it. And I think that's like kind of like top, you know, where you're like, we're a mono red deck. The filtering's crazy. It's an artifact. You know, you can do a bunch of crazy interactions with Welder. Bunch of cool stuff can happen, like that are specific to the fact that you're playing this artifact deck. And that's like, I think similar to Saga, where the lines in that deck are insane, but also like you can just jam it in a lot of decks and be like, I shit out a bunch of constructs. So then got a Retrofitter Foundry and that's like good enough.
I was just thinking of like one of the fun little interactions you would get to do in Painter is when you would Welder your opponent's stuff. And I was just thinking if they had like, you know, some little one CMC thing and they had this big construct, you're like, yeah, we're just going to chuck that construct in the bin and you can have whatever your one mana card is that you got back out.
Right. You're fucking, what's that soul guide lantern that, you know, they've cracked to draw a card.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, you can have that back and your constructs are gone now. Have a nice day.
It's kind of a shame that Urza's Saga does make very powerful constructs, because if that was like some less strong thing, it would just be like a sick, like painter card, like this temporary land that tutors for, you know,
like you made like a, well, it was one in tap and made a Thopter.
Yeah.
Yeah, then it would be like a niche card for like certain decks.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, if only they'd play tested, maybe they would have come to the same conclusion. Who's to say?
We may never know. So, Jeff, in the last like 6 months or so, have you had any like legacy burnout at all? Or like,
You guys have heard all about it. And I think anybody listening to this has heard a lot about it.
It was a leading question because, you know, this is like the fourth event you've played this year.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. You know, like you mentioned with like Modern Horizons and stuff, like stuff comes out, the format changes in directions that, you know, feel not, I don't even want to like presume like not good. Like I'm not going to say I'm the arbiter of that, but like not appealing to me, you know, like the play patterns just end up a way where it's like, you know, you're playing a game and you just don't really feel like anything even matters. Like if you're winning or losing, you're just kind of doing the prescribed thing, which I'm not a fan of.
Sometimes I have a difficulty like really getting into even the mindset of like what the play patterns might be from looking at a deck. And sometimes you just like look at a deck and you just instinctively say that's awesome or it's not awesome or it's, that's just a linear burn combo deck, like, or counter burn deck. But there was definitely some stuff that, like, I remember that first Ragavan Urza Saga deck that Arkan had, or at least that's the first time I saw it, where it had like one Phyrexian Dreadnought in the deck with a bunch of stifles and all that. And it was just like, and there's like two standstills randomly in there. I was like, okay, people can say whatever they want, but this looks sweet. And yeah, so I've been really trying to look for like a few of those to like draw me back in terms of like really wanting me to explore something new. Like for the last while, I really just played like lands, death and taxes. And when Oko was around, I played a bunch of Delver, just exploring that, but I don't like explore very much. So I've definitely been looking for that to kind of like reinvigorate the legacy vibe.
Yeah, I find like I'll end up in a situation where I try to, even if I think like a format doesn't like look great, like I try to play it a bit to at least get like a feel for it, you know? And then, you know, often I'm kind of like, yeah, I didn't think I was going to like this and now I don't. And you end up with that feeling sometimes where you're just doing something because you're like, I don't know, maybe it's a good idea. And you look back afterwards and you're like, I didn't enjoy this. Like, I mean, anybody can probably feel as this about anything where, you know, you do something you think is going to be fun or interesting. And you're just like, I didn't have a good time. I didn't do well. I didn't enjoy the things that I did. So I'm just going to stop for a while. And that's kind of where I was at when we were talking before about like maybe trying a different deck, was to try to like, you know, shake out of that rut. And it's definitely harder when you're only like, you know, roughly one kind of deck person. I mean, like I am. Because if those styles of decks are bad, you know, I don't really have any roles to go to. And it ends up kind of turning me off the format or like the gameplay for a while. But I mean, like you're saying, if it seemed that like Ragavan deck, I mean, I will also agree, like looking at that deck list, I had thoughts of like, this is sweet. It's like, it's not what I want to play because it's not really my kind of thing. But seeing standstills and like goofy shit like Phyrexian Dreadnought, like that is undeniably sweet, even if some of it is kind of like lame.
I think the thing about like the power level of the newer cards now, though, I think standstill's found a home, obviously. Mm-hmm. But like there are a bunch of weird Dreadnought decks with like Dress Down and like Stifle, and it's like, and you still see it in leagues, to be fair, but that stuff quickly gets just pushed out of the format now. And I think that is like, it's funny, like I don't play online unless there's God accounts, and then I play quite a bit. I binge on the Super Nintendo game that mom bought me for the weekend, or mom rented for the weekend. And it's funny not playing online. I'm like, oh man, there's so many decks I want to play. And I think if I did play online, I would be like, I play these decks and then I just lose to, you know, I try and getting a 5-0 with a sweet deck. And I'm like, who knows how many matches the people who get published with these sweet 5-0s have to play. And then you look at like the challenge list and you're like, oh yeah, like no, very few of those lists make it in.
Yeah, I think there's an effect of like the people who have the time, like there's a selection bias where it's just like, these are people who have made the time, they've picked up these cards in digital and they want to become better players and win. So you're in a challenge or any of the results, like there hasn't been too many paper legacy events. So when people think of the metagame, they just think of this like winner's metagame for Magic Online, which is pretty competitive. So naturally all that cool, sweet stuff that you would see in a paper event where, you know, Jeff would show up and be like, I am playing this Glimmering Stag or whatever the hell it is.
Oh, and, yeah.
And like, you just wouldn't see that, but it'll be interesting to see like, as more paper events start to come back, particularly the ones that are like 30 to 40 players, where you can get, you know, some random deck kind of, you know, spiking 4 or 5 wins and getting into top eights and getting published and all that. I think that'll be exciting to see some of those actual dress down Phyrexian Dreadnought, Lazav Knot, or whatever other kind of knot deck there is out there. It'll be fun to see those kind of come back and not just like, you know, here's the top 10 decks that you could expect to see in a Magic Online weekend event. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be those decks and you'll never see anything else.
Idea of paper is really interesting. And it's like, we've often talked about the cost of legacy. And I don't think we've talked about it much on cast, but I think we've all kind of said like, if they broke the reserve list, that would make all three of us happy. And I would still stand by that. But when we're talking about this, one thing that I kind of thought about is like, it's really interesting that like, one of the reasons I love paper legacy is not the exclusivity as in I don't want new people to play, but because there's like such a high barrier to like changing decks or entry. Like we, you know, Anthony Song, who plays locally, like he just buys every card. He's pretty spiky. He also can be quite pretty spicy too. But like, you know, if he showed up at even like a 1K, I think he'd play one of the top like 3 or 4 decks, which is like great. More power to him, right? That's how you enjoy Magic. I don't enjoy Magic. That's not my primary motivation. And I think one of the things that has kept me interested in Legacy is that I show up and I'm like, well, Jeff's on D&T, even if D&T sucks right now. I have a bit wider range, but typically I'd be on like 1 or 2 decks, even if they're good or bad. You know, like McBain, you'll always have one thing you're doing, even though you have like a wide set of cards. And it's like everyone kind of coming with their expertise, you know, in a range where everything's playable, versus like, it would be interesting to see, like, I don't know how much, and again, I want to like stress, like, I don't think cardboard should be like $1,000. And I don't think Legacy should be like, there should be a financial barrier. But I wonder if I would like personally enjoy the game more if like, it was like buying a standard deck. And so when we showed up at like a paper tournament, the meta was more like the meta is online, where, you know, most people who play have like rental service. I haven't thought a lot about this until right now, where I was like, man, I think I would actually kind of not play a lot of Legacy. I play weeklies, but like a 1K would come and be like, I don't want to play the 1K. Like, I don't want to, like, you know, Ant's bad, and like, I don't know, the decks I want to play are bad, and I don't want to play against Blue Red Delver 6 times.
I was going to say around that vein, there's this idea of format tourists who come into a format, you know, pick the Blue Red Delver deck, play it.
Embarrass all of us by being so good.
Yeah, they're good players, but it's either like a proxy event where they just kind of like go on MTG Goldfish and just print out the top deck and just come and play it. And they don't really add a lot to the community or the vibe or anything like that. And they never really get invested. I think there's like one of the reasons why Legacy is stickier. Well, Magic cards in general are stickier, but Legacy even more so, is because cards are expensive. There's kind of this aversion to just kind of selling them. Like, people retain the value and they think about the value and they go, okay, well, I have these. I don't really want to sell them, and I might as well play them. So they kind of like keep coming back, even if it's not necessarily the best time for them, but it, you know, it gets them through when it needs to. But from a, from like a Magic burnout perspective, sometimes that's what you need, is like, if Legacy is really bad, it's just like, okay, I'm going to go play some Commander. I'm going to play something else. And that's really what makes this game so great, is that you can, like, if I go play some Cube or something like that, that's like a whole different section of my brain that's being used. And like, it's a whole new thing, even though you're still playing with like lands and fundamentally just play Magic, it's totally different. Or going and playing Sealed. Well, I guess, Jeff, for you, it's like Legacy and Sealed is pretty synonymous in terms of just playing bad grindy cards. But I don't know. That's one thing that I've had for when I kind of get into a bit of a rut, is switching over to a different format.
No, yeah, that's good. I mean, it's kind of a thing too, where it's like testing if you're frustrated or burned out with like Legacy specifically, or like Magic. And often, even if things aren't really changing in something like Legacy, like, time away in a, like, a different format, it just kind of like, you know, reignites a bit of like a Magic fire. I think for myself, gives me like the fortitude to dive back into something that maybe I wasn't that happy with.
Yeah. And I think the real thing that's underlying all of this is the actual people and the gathering component of it. And I know in our local community, with our webcam result or our webcam games and stuff like that, it's really started to drop off in the last little while. And I think everyone's just kind of like, one, enjoying the summer, and two, really just wanting paper events to start up again. At least that's kind of what I would imagine. But I'm really looking forward to that again. And, you know, seeing the Dannys of the world show up with their Stoneforge Mystic that they've owned for 15 years and be like, here we go. I'm going to go get my Shuko and attach it to my Cephalid Illusionist. Like, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. There's one thing that really appeals to me about like Paper Magic in particular, is like kind of building that like self brand, you know, and this does not go hand in hand with like being overly successful, because you just get pigeonholed in like one thing, but you know, like meeting somebody, or even being that to somebody, and be like, I'm the D&T guy, you know, or, oh, McBain, that's the lands guy. And like seeing somebody and having like an identity tied to that is very cool. Like, you kind of, it's an easy way also to like remember people, or like, you know, get to know people better, just by like, oh, fuck, he's at this tournament. Oh, I saw him, you know, last time he was playing fucking 12 posts. So like, that's Lee. Like, he's obviously on 12 posts. That's sweet. I love that part of Paper Legacy. And there's definitely something that goes away on like online, right? Where it's just idiots like me renting a deck they've never played before, you know, five times a day, and then saying they hate the format.
Oh, when you like do the heel turn too. And like, I remember the first time that I was like Tropical Island Ponder, and someone's like, good old Infect, hey. And I'm like looking at my hand and I'm like, yeah, yep. And they're like, I guess I'll just Plains Go. And I'm like, holding up that Source Splash here. It's probably pretty good. My go, Ancient Tomb Show and Tell. Like, I'm sorry, pardon me. Yeah. Oh, my bad. I'll put in nominations.
Yeah, Quinn, you really went from like almost solely Infect to branching into, well, maybe I recently watched Loki. So there's the one timeline, and now it's like, you've totally, COVID has totally fractured your Legacy timeline. And now it sounds like you have, you know, 15 decks that you could potentially be playing.
Yeah. I think like, it's funny you mentioned Loki, because I think if the timekeepers had come and put me back on my, what's the main timeline called?
The true timeline, or
if they put me back on the true timeline, then I might actually be like kind of okay at 1 to 2 decks in Legacy. And we were joking about before before we started. Now I just kind of suck at like 20 decks in Legacy. But I think that goes back to what I said earlier about, like, I mean, obviously, like, winning Magic, you know, like, no one likes losing all the time. And I definitely don't want to lose all the time, but I just like doing cool shit. And having it be in an environment where there's more parameters that aren't just like, we live in a society together, which I kind of feel like EDH is, you know, like, I know I do some things in EDH and it's just someone else finds it annoying, and that's fine. And people do stuff that I find annoying, but in Legacy, I don't ever feel like I have to apologize if I'm like, sorry, I turned to you, you know, like, this is what you signed up for. Right. And if you blew up on my lands, I'm not upset, because Legacy, that's what I signed up for. It's Legacy, right? But yeah, I like have started to derive a lot of, now that I have access to cards, because I spent all the money to spend on like going out and eating and drinking and going on vacation on cardboard. I've like, yeah, really enjoyed being like, what am I going to do this week? I just like come through the leagues and I'm like, I'm going to bring a deck. I'm going to try and like goldfish it a bit and try and figure out like what I think the heuristics are and then just go for it. Yeah, that's, I own good. Didgeridoos now, which is,
oh god,
not a thing I would have expected.
It's so good with Saga.
Now that I know that, I'm like, shit, do I need to buy that expensive Neheb? Like, is this deck real? It's not, but like, it's realer.
But if you're going there, right, you might as well.
Yeah, if you're going to Didgeridoo land, you might as well become the king of Didgeridoo land.
The best version of Didgeridoo you can make.
Yeah. I started Legacy and I had a half proxied Infect deck. And then I got Reanimator and I have two, like, those like ultra boxes that snap together. And I'm just like, well, just bring these two boxes and I got two decks I can play. And then I built Ant. And now I have three out of a four row box just like filled with cards. I'm like, well, I might need these one day. Here we are.
That's totally fine. I think there's definitely like a skin in the game component to Legacy where it's, yeah, again, you pick up a card here or there, a new deck comes out, you just kind of hold onto the cards, and it really pays off down the long run.
I recently went through it and removed all of my Diabolic Edicts out of the box because there's two upgrades now.
Rest in peace, Mr.
Edict. Rest in peace, Diabolic Edict.
Yeah, the other thing that sometimes gets me out of cards every once in a while is just life. Like, you know, mm-hmm. you're spending the time to go back to school, or you got a new job and you got to do that, or like newborn kid, all that stuff is just, you know, there's everything is in moderation in life. And if you don't know that already, then you're in trouble.
Hang on, I got to write this down.
yeah, that's why I don't play online. We kind of talked about that too. Like, I just,
yeah,
I don't know. I would play a lot. And I don't know. Maybe I'd like it more. Maybe I'd like it less. I don't really know. But,
well, it's that thing that we talked about with James when he was on here, where there's, you know, there's the opportunity cost of you could be doing something else, and that something else could be a little bit more productive with your future self, the future, yeah, Jeff. And yeah,
it's getting better at Legacy.
Exactly. When we sat down, Quinn, and you were like, oh, like Momir, it's free on Arena. And I was like, it only costs your time.
Like, I think like I still do other stuff now, though. You know what I mean? And I don't know if having access, maybe it would. Maybe I would just go crazy. But I don't think having access to Legacy Online would, like, it would definitely take up time spent for other stuff. But I've also, like, every day for the past week, for half an hour, I've played Pokemon Unite. You know, like, which,
yo, where's the invite?
Oh yeah, I missed when you guys were on it, but I think that's the thing. Like, you know, like, or I'll play like Tetris 99 or Civ or whatever, right? Like,
yeah,
I think it would just cut into that time, which I don't think is a thing making me a more well-rounded individual. If it's already cutting into like, I not go for a bike ride because I actually play one more match, then I think it's like a problem. But I think at this point in my life, I don't know if that would happen. Especially with stuff like, well, getting safer, then maybe it's going to get more dangerous again. But for now, getting safer. You know, last week I missed Thursday, which is our like webcam, probably hopefully soon to be in paper Legacy night, because I had a friend who was like, hey, I'm in town visiting family because it finally feels okay to do that. but also, do you want to go for a beer tonight? And I was like, I'm not going to say no, I have to play Magic. You know, like, yep, guess I'm going.
Now, where that's kind of different for me is the line between like webcam Magic and like paper Magic. You know, like Bane's talking about balancing in life and like, you know, a new job or whatever. And I've always found like, obviously, if I'm like super overloaded with projects at work or I got a bunch of stuff going on here, like I'm getting married twice in 1 year or whatever, like there's different.
We went to the same woman. It's a ceremony. There was no divorce and it's not two people. Just no shade if that's what your life is like.
You know, the going to Stronghold on a Thursday, no matter what was going on with my life, how busy or hectic I was or stressed or upset or whatever, like that was always this like shining beacon of time every single week. And obviously I missed it if I had to, if something was going on, but like it was never because of like my mood, because I knew that like the second I got in there, you know, playing paper Magic, talking to friends, you know, pack one, whatever, everything was going to be good. And playing webcam stuff just doesn't feel the same. Like, you know, these days I'll take the slightest, like this thing at work today was so annoying, I don't even want to deal with, you know, getting turn two on a webcam tonight. I'm not going to do it.
I definitely like one is better than the other. There's like a hierarchy.
Quinn's the only guy at home webcamming into Paper Legacy.
Yeah, sorry, Quinn's not feeling safe yet. Here's the laptop. I also like would way rather play webcam than, you know, even if I did own cards on MTGO. I could see myself if I was like, hey, I played a lot of MTGO on Monday and Tuesday, so I'm not gonna play Magic on Thursday. But like, I would never opt to play online on Thursday versus playing like webcam on Thursday.
Yeah,
because like, yeah, maybe get turn two. I don't know. And like, it's still Magic. You know, there's some people who maybe you would prefer not to socialize with. But on the whole,
it's you okay. Know, you can say Elliot's name.
He doesn't even play. If he showed up, maybe I could shit talk.
Yeah, he's playing Magic online instead of coming out.
Yeah, and which I wasn't even thinking about. So that was an accidental dragging. But no, I don't know. Like, you know, I like, especially during the peak of the pandemic, you know, and again, it's like a bit different now that, like, you know, I saw McBain yesterday in an actual bar, you know, our friends in America, depending on where they live, are doing real things too, you know, including playing Magic in paper. But like in April 2020 or whatever, when we started, I was like, Thursday is like, you know, I was like, Liz, we can see each other any day except for that day. And I'm like, maybe I'll get Master, get some weirdo on like webcam, but I mean, this is also the only human interaction instead of Zooms with my work mates that I'm getting. And so it's a step up for that for sure.
Oh, I was in the same boat. Like I was recently talking with my mom about like what she, you know, like getting together for her birthday. And she's like, well, it's on Thursday. So I don't know. Like, can you do that? And I was like, I could do that for you, Mom. We can make that work. I can miss Magic. But yeah, it's prioritizing your time and making sure that you show up for the important things. It, like one thing that I wanted to kind of maybe talk about to kind of round things out is like really like you mentioned earlier, Jeff, like that reigniting that like legacy fire and just being like almost to the unhealthy point to counter all the stuff we just talked about. Like what's some of the stuff that either has happened in the past or that you do to like really that just draws you in where it's like, I want to play four leagues of this, go to a 1K. And then like, as soon as the 1K is done, I just like, all I want to do is more of this deck. Like for me, that was like almost like 2 years ago or something like that, where I was just like really drawn into it. And as paper starts to kind of come out again and tournaments start to come out again, it's a pretty big commitment sometimes to like, you know, potentially take a day off work and like go to an event and stuff like that. And you have to have that fire of just like, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, like what some of those things are that really draw you in. Is it the people? Is it like a certain type of format? Like, what do you do to like really, reignite the fire, and not like the WotC fire. The,
I love like how you said certain format, and I just like it was just Jeff being like, "Yeah, I just love historic." what I really love is Pioneer.
Yeah, it just feels different when I'm playing like my paper deck. You know, it feels more like a kind of building up like quest. You know, like when we used to have paper events all the time. Like, and this is probably dating me too for when it was, but like. At work, I'd constantly have like the MTG Salvation D&T thread up. And, you know, I'd like fucking F5 it all day and like respond to people, scour through that to see what people are playing, you know, in nearby events and the different changes they're making or people discussing, you know, different cards about this. And like, it is the same with digital stuff, but it somehow it doesn't like resonate with me the same as like when I'm having these like segmented tournaments, you know. I think there's a lot more prep that goes into a paper tournament, and that's what kind of makes it more exciting. Like, you know, you have like a showtime and you're going and you've got everything ready and you're practicing because you like reach out to a friend and you know, you guys met up in like McBain's house and just jammed matches for hours. It feels more like a fucking Rocky training montage, you know, than just like sitting here talking to nobody, misclicking on Magic Online.
I think Quinn right now is thinking of Dylan and him playing Infect right now. And just
I was actually thinking of the Rocky through training montage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but also that. I think too for me, and maybe this is like a, I'm not gonna say boomer, but like elder millennial or geriatric millennial, I think I count as energy. If I'm going to play Magic and I tell like Liz, who is my partner, not my mother, but still, you know, if I'm like, I'm going to hang out with some friends, I go to McBain and Jess plays. And she's like, oh, what are you guys doing? Like, oh, we're playing Magic, we're prepping for this tournament.
As I don't
know,
never
for some reason for me, that's like, we're going to hang out, you know, like, yes, I want to prep for this tournament. I don't know how much I would be enjoying myself if I was just prepping for the tournament versus like, oh, I actually, you know, I enjoy spending time with you guys outside of the game we play. We just happen to also be like, well, why don't we use this time to drink beers and
right. Like you're not being like a magic mathematician here. Like you're just hanging out drinking beers. And if you get better through playing Magic, great.
That was like prep for like Eternal Weekend or, you know, was it? Yeah, Eternal Weekend. I mean, like it was better than not playing Magic because Magic is a thing I like a lot, but when I was testing it, like what deck I wanted to play and like, you know, getting kind of, I get really way more tilted online too.
Yep.
Not enough to beak anyone off in chat, which I still think is so sad. But you know, I stare at the screen. I'm like, oh, motherfucker. And like, I don't know. Those kinds of like emotions don't come out to me when there's like a human being sitting across from me where I'm like, you know,
like, I like this like Dr. Jekyll, like Mr. Hyde Quinn, who's like, you know, at home, he's like hulking through his shirt as he like misclicks his fucking.
I definitely get mad when I misclick, which happens a lot. But I
Wasteland's his own wasteland.
When I invigorated my opponent's Tarmogoyf by accident, and I just remember like there's this long pause, and it's just actually a similar thing, you know, like. If someone plays slow on paper, like McBain, I will make fun of you because we're friends. But, you know, sometimes people are like, hey, I'm really sorry. I'm like, don't worry about it. Take your time. I'll like bird this other match or whatever. And online, I'm just like, oh my God, like, fuck. Because I'm cramming Magic. That's the other thing. I'm cramming Magic into like little crevices of like my life, you know, like at my lunch hour. And I'm like, play faster. I got to meet with my boss in 10 minutes. And I like remember it pausing it. And I'm like, oh, come on, buddy. Like, what the fuck? Like, either you have the counter spell or you don't. And then I like look and I'm like, oh, I see why he's pausing because I'm an idiot. And then like the Tarmogoyf got bigger, ate my Glistener Elf. And I was like, fuck, that was bad. Okay.
I love you've talked this before, but I just love thinking about your opponent being like, fuck, what is this?
What is this play? What is this line? What could it be? Must be next level. No, it was level minus five. Sorry.
Both. Things that really draw me in is generally like an event where I get to go with some friends. Like usually that's like the peak for me.
Puget Sound Battleground.
Puget Sound Battleground. Exactly. When I go on my own, not nearly as good. If it's like a new set or something like that, or like, you know, got like, unless it's like new cards for your deck that you're a specialist in, doesn't really do it for me. Even if I'm like doing really well, it still doesn't really like pull me back in. It's generally like those big events that are like, you know, 30 to 100 plus people, when there's like three or four of you going down to do it. Like those are the ones that really draw me in. Every time I've like forced a bigger event and it's just been myself, I've almost never walked away at the end of the day being like, I enjoyed myself. It's generally a pretty bad feeling, but
McBain crying on his pile of store credit.
All I have to cover myself is these two City of Traders that I got for free.
You know, like Woody Harrelson GIF, where he's like wiping his eyes with City of Traders.
That's what those, like, you know, like those lava pouring on the City of Traders is.
You're right though. You know, it's like everything we said constantly. It's about the people. That's fucking, the game is great. The game's fantastic. But, you know, if you got nobody to share it with, what's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what else do you want to just jump into? Some that's gas on that positive note?
I think so. Okay. Hey, question. This is probably not something for like a live situation, but we don't have a date yet that Stronghold's going to paper, do we?
No. But when I went in on Saturday or Friday? Friday. Went on Friday, and there were some people playing Warhammer inside.
Okay. Because, yeah, the WPN date, I think, was on the 6th. That's when, like, Wizards officially says, like,
yeah,
allowed to. Not that they're the fucking arbiter of, you know, provincial health, but at least not.
Like, I mean, you need them to run a WPN event in your store.
I want to be, I'm picturing the kind of guy on Twitter right now that's like, you know, there's like anti-maskers. They're like, well, the CDC said this date and then they said that date. Like, I want to be the guy that's like referencing the WPN in regarding to my...
They said we can go back to in start playing.
Dr. Henry, have you listened to Wizards yet?
People are debating whether children should wear masks in the fall, and you're just like, I'm just wondering if it's okay to sanction an event. What if there's proxies? Then is it okay?
It clearly says they're sanctioned for 13 and up.
What if I triple sleeve and double mask?
My opponent can't unmask and now he has to leave the store.
Oh my god.
And they're playing Grief as well. Unbelievable. They unmasked me and then griefed me.
Yeah, McBain, sure. Let's go to that. Let's guess.
Immersively short episode. We might leave people wanting more for like the first time in like a year and a half.
We can hope.
Well, yeah, well, there's a story behind it, but I think we'll save that till next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Jeff, you want to start?
Yeah. I have to triple this because I can't not mention two things. And there's something else that I need to mention, but the two things I need to mention obviously shouting out JR XJ Cloud for being a complete monster and winning the challenge. I don't even know which Sunday with you're on DNT the other week and then running that back to win Anorog's 1.2k. also fucking crazy, you know, keeps putting up results. This man can't be stopped. And then also for the Vile Brothers, Eli Goings, the Goblin Master himself, came in a crazy second place playing a sick Goblin list at the, I think this was actually the showcase. This was this Sunday. Very sweet. And then the person I have not shouted out before, but that I also need to shout out. It's funny. I was talking about like magic plays that I have where I don't like, where they're so like prescribed that I have to do them. My that's gas this week is like so prescribed. I have to do all of them. Reddit user isolated_system posted a fantastic breakdown of DNT on the NTG Legacy subreddit last week, I believe. This is specifically for the 60 card DNT, but
yeah,
talking about like the methodology of things and like what you're trying to do in different matchups and like just rules about like, you know, things you should be concerned about, things you need to care about, what your hand should look like, you know, what your goal is in specific matchups. Like, this is a great novel written about all those things, even if you're playing an extra 20 cards. We'll link it in the show notes. Definitely go check it out and give this guy an upvote. Very great to read. And that's honestly talking about things that kind of like start lighting your fire again. Like reading that and reading these interactions, the things to care about, that was like, oh yeah, oh yeah, give me more. Let's go. So all three of those people are gas.
I know we're like not really supposed to criticize something like that's gas. And I know also these cards aren't actually played in Legacy Goblins, but I really feel like you miss an opportunity to call Eli either a Goblin Rabble Master or a Goblin King. I just want to throw that out there.
Those were right there. That was pretty good.
Should I keep talking?
Yes, Quinn.
Have we done this before?
Yes, absolutely. I think each of us maybe have done individually.
Okay, well, we saw George yesterday. McBain and I were fortunate to see George. He was in town. He no longer lives in the city, but he has some business in the city. And I don't know. I joked earlier about how like Ruby Storm's getting too good now. George is going to have to find, like, that's why he's playing Pioneer. He needs to find something a little more sketchy when it comes to like, you know, consistency of his deck to play. But in that same way, I feel like George and I are kindred spirits because he found a thing he wanted to do and he does what he wants to do no matter what is happening in Legacy. And that's the way that I approach the format. I just happen to like more things than I did before. And I absolutely love that. He also said he's 100% ready for paper because he's gotten all the new cards for Ruby Storm that have come out since we stopped playing in paper. And like Jordan Izaka, he's married to the game and he white borders all of his cards. So he was telling us about white bordering both sides of his Burgies. I am looking forward to him flipping over a white bordered horn on me and then just like going off.
Well, he's even buying like old border past and flames to white border.
Yeah. 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 Because you got to get the best version, but you still got to whiteboard, right? Because you're keeping those forever.
Yeah. Well, I do like the fact that since he is a Ruby Storm deck and plays Burning Wish, he always will have his sideboard cards as black border, or like he won't whiteboard them so that you just know. And then you can, you know, de-sideboard really quickly. You know, there's something about that that I like instead of just like the full on whiteboarder. Am I to go?
Yep.
I'm going to kind of follow in Jeff's footsteps here. And really, I guess it goes back to that idea of kind of like reinvigorating your interest in a particular deck. And this goes to Albert Lindblom, or Ali, as he's generally known on the Discord and Twitter and things like that. And he's one of the lands masters. He's also one of the crazy lands masters. So he plays really, really off the wall brews of lands. I think the only thing that remains constant is like there'll be Mox Diamonds in the deck and there'll be explorations. Everything else is kind of like fair game for some kind of craziness. And they recently wrote an article on the pendrevale.com of lands versus control and like how to play the matchup and just generally how to approach it and what your role is and how you actually gain advantage and win is as a lands player. And I've always really liked the control versus lands deck, the matchups. I know Dylan and I have had many a game that has gone down to like basically decking each other, just where no one can win. And it's just an immovable object and unstoppable force. If that's the term, I can't remember. Whatever the Batman quote is. But yeah,
is that Ali, originally a Batman like, quote? What?
Pretty sure. Anyway, so Ali is gas. He was one of the ones, one of the three original people who kind of really drew me into the lands deck. Back when I was, you know, lost searching after Sensei's Top got banned, and I didn't want to play Painter anymore. And I was, for some reason, trying to cast Food Chains and exile Griffins. I don't know what I was doing with my life. And I finally found Lance. So it's great to have some of these people, like you're mentioning, JR, Eli, who really put in the time and effort as specialists to, through basically, they don't really gain anything from it other than just kind of like promoting and talking about the deck that they love. So basically anyone who does that is gas. And this week, Ali is gas. Great.
Also, minor add on to that too. Big shout out to the pendulbale.com and Kurosh for running that. That's a super cool website. I love seeing these pop up, you know, especially in the era of like just Discords existing everywhere. I really like seeing the individual websites, probably popularized by Brian Cook with the Epic Storm, but you know, Phil Gallagher running the D&T one, Dugs obviously running the Maverick one. It's a fun like hub to see and look at this stuff. So if you haven't seen it, check out the pendulbale.com.
Yeah, I definitely co-signed that. That's one thing that moving away from forums that we've really lost is that kind of ability to go back and read the history books and check the tape and see what people were thinking when X card came out or when Y card came out, rather than having to go through like a Channel Fireball or Star City to have an article published on these services. It's a little bit, I don't want to say the bar is lower, but at least it provides that old record that you can go back to and check out.
Anything else you guys like to talk about before we call it a night? All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Usually I would say if you made it this far, but I fucking hope you made it. It's only been an hour. Like, are you a real Canadian Threshold fan or not?
We haven't even reached Threshold yet.
Yeah.
We're cutting it short at 6 cards.
We're just sitting there with a 1-1 being like, oh, God, I can't attack. Need to find a bolt.
They have a Relic of Regenitus and they just keep exiling my cards. I'm never going to get there.
But on the note of Threshold, we'll see you in 2 of them. Thanks, everyone, for listening, as always. And we'll talk soon.
He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming.